Public speaking used to make me vomit. Just going to throw that out there. For those of you that were at Vacation Bible School, you would have seen me up on stage eating 5 crickets and dry heaving my way through it. 10, 15 years ago, if you asked me what would you rather do, eat 5 crickets again or speak in front of a crowd of more than like 3 people, I'd say 15 crickets I could do. I hated public speaking. In elementary school, I had a teacher that had the rest of the class hide under their desks so that I could give a presentation. I still couldn't do it. I had to go after school to give this presentation. Through middle school, whenever my family went out to a restaurant, I would have to tell my parents what I wanted because I was so scared to tell the waiter or the waitress what I wanted. In high school, before giving a presentation to a class, I'd go to the bathroom, you know, or dry heave, and that's the way I knew I was going to be able to get through this public speaking ordeal. Then in college, you'd think, hey, maybe he's gained a little bit of confidence. You'd be wrong. I would pace in my room. I would have my stomach in knots before any type of public speaking engagement. I never thought I'd have the ability to speak to a group of more than 2 people. I never thought that I could be a pastor of any kind, even when God had called me to be a pastor and I was still feeling this way. But praise God, because He has given me the strength and the ability. It's by His grace that I'm able to get up here this morning and not be in the hallway bathroom doubled over, heaving my guts out. It's His strength and His mercy and His grace that I'm able to be up here today. It's not something that I'm naturally able to do in my own power. It is by God's power. It is by God's grace. So today, we're discussing how God has entrusted us with various abilities. And we see this in 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 9 through 11. And these verses say, "Show hospitality to one another without grumbling. As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. Whoever speaks, as one who speaks oracles of God, whoever serves, as one who serves by the strength that God supplies, in order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. To Him belong glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen." Let's go to Him in prayer. Father, as we've gathered here this morning, I ask that You would speak through me, that it would be Your words that are heard and not my own. That You would give us understanding and clarity of Your word. That You would give us understanding and clarity of how You have gifted us and the abilities You've given us. Father, be with us as we go through Your words and discern the way that You've gifted us. I ask all this in Christ's name. Amen. Have you ever felt like you're not good at something? Like you just kind of look around and you're like, man, I am really not good at this. Or worse, you look around at other people and you think, man, everyone else is so much better at everything than I am. That's one way you could react to when you see people's gifting. Or maybe it's the opposite. Maybe you have a gift. And when you look at that gift, you go, yeah, I could make a living off of this. I'm hot stuff. This is my gift. I am going to use this and I'm going to make myself greater. I'm going to make my name known. Well, here's the truth. God has blessed us with unique gifts. God has blessed us with unique gifts. In that passage that I just read, 1 Peter 4:10 says it this way, "As each has received a gift." As each has received a gift. We have received gifts from God. We received them. That means God has given it to us. That means God has wired us. That means we're not accidents. We aren't accidentally good at something. We aren't accidentally bad at something. God has wired us. It's not just a personality quirk. It's not just, oh, you know, they were raised that way. God has gifted us. And none of them are second rate. No gift that has been given to us is second rate or less than another gift. He's given you the gifts through his Spirit. F.B. Meyer said it this way. Manifold grace is many-colored grace. As when a ray of light breaks into a spray of many hues, so each of us receives God's grace at a different angle, and it flashes it back, broken up into some fresh color. And all of this is saying is that God pours out his grace on us, and the gifts of God's grace look different in each of us because he has uniquely created us. He uniquely creates us, and so when he pours his grace of gifts out on us, they look different when we reflect him. You know, we had some great worship this morning. We have some great singers, some great musicians. If I was up here, you all would not be out there when I was singing. That is not my gifting. I am not musically inclined. I can't keep a rhythm. I had to do tests when I was younger because of my epilepsy, and they said, okay, let's check your rhythm. 0 was a perfect rhythm. I scored a 9. That's not good. That's really not good. I am not musically gifted. But every gift is perfectly given to us by a perfect and loving God. God does not make mistakes. So your gift cannot be too small. Your gift cannot be too insignificant for him. And no one who serves others while using the gift that God has given them can be failing in that. If you are serving using the gift God has given to you, you are doing what God wants you to do. And it is all for his glory. You know, when you stand out there and you hand out Smarties to the little kids, or maybe you are changing a dirty diaper in the nursery, you're serving on a junior high mission trip, whether you're preaching, whether you are just someone that stops someone in the hallway and takes the time to pray for another. You're serving others. You're glorifying God when you do those things. And that's what we're called to do with our gifts. We're called to glorify God. We're called to serve others. No gift God has given is too small or insignificant for his kingdom. And scripture gives us a really good illustration for this, for our gifting. The body. Romans chapter 12, verses 4 through 6 say, "For as in one body we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function. So we, though many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. Having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, in proportion to our faith." And it goes on to talk about some other gifts. But the body is a great example of how there is no gift too small. Now, some of you might be thinking like, okay, a fingernail, though. That's not really doing anything, right? That's an insignificant part of the body. But how many of you have ever had a hangnail? And that hangnail is just causing pain, that little discomfort all day, and you just can't wait to deal with that hangnail. Even the smallest part of the body, when something goes wrong with it, it irritates us. It causes harm to us. Or think about how our muscles work in tandem with one another. When I was in high school and playing soccer, I pulled a back muscle in my lower back. Was not good. It was incredibly painful, but I realized after a certain amount of time of playing through it, because I was hard-headed and didn't listen to the doctor, of course, playing through that back injury led to pain in my legs. It led to pain in my shoulders because I was overcompensating for something that was wrong. All the muscles were connected and my body was overcompensating for that. Or think about how the smallest of cuts, if it gets infected, it can cause life-threatening issues. And just like how the body works together, God has gifted us in such a way that we are working together, that we are a unit. And when one person uses their gifts wrong, or one person is neglected or hurt, that impacts the whole body. We can't have people that are trying to be the head when they're the foot. Or we can't have people trying to be the mouth when they're the ears. And we can't have people trying to be the hands when they're actually the eyes. The body has to do what God has gifted it to do, or else it gets incredibly confusing. It gets out of whack. Yet, what good is trying to fit yourself into a body part if you don't know what body part you are? What good is it trying to fit into the body if you don't know what your gift is? And so we have to know our gifts. We need to be asking others, hey, what am I gifted in? If you don't know what your gift is, I can assure you, you are gifted, okay? Don't get that twisted. You are gifted in some way. But we need to ask people if we don't know what it is. Hey, where do you see my giftedness? We need to be praying to God to reveal that giftedness to us so that we know, where do I fit in the body of Christ? Where am I gifted so that I can serve others and serve him and glorify him well? If we don't know where we're gifted, we won't have a place that we fully understand when it comes to serving Jesus Christ. But there is a danger when it comes to our gifts, because pride causes us to use these gifts wrongly. Pride is something that will destroy those that have gifts. And it'll show itself up in a few ways. One of these ways is self-exaltation, and the other one is self-protection. When pride creeps into your life and pride creeps into how you're using your gifts, it'll appear in one of those two ways. The first way, self-exaltation. That's when God has given you a gift and you use it to glorify yourself. You have this gift and you say, hey, look at how great I am at what I'm doing with what I am good at. You make the focus all about you. You want to glorify yourself, put yourself up on a pedestal. And then there's self-protection, which is also making it all about yourself, but in a different way. Self-protection is not using the gift God has given you out of fear that people will judge you, or fear that people will mock you, or that you'll use that gift poorly. That self-protection isn't you saying, oh, you know, I have the gift, but I want to be wise with it. That's us saying, I don't trust that God can use this gift through me, and I'm scared that people are going to judge me if I use this gift wrong or if I do something that doesn't make sense, but God has called you to use it. And so self-protection also makes it about yourself. It's trying to make us the focal point of the gift, and we are not supposed to be the focal point of the gifts that God has given us. It's not what 1 Peter 4 says. It says, whoever speaks as one who speaks oracles of God, whoever serves as one who serves by the strength that God supplies. See, these gifts, it's all the strength that God provides. It's not something that we are doing. It is the strength of God in us. And I'll fully admit, I struggle with both of these things. I struggle with self-exaltation, and I struggle with self-protection. Pride is one of the sins that I struggle with the most. And so there are times that I'm tempted to say, hey, look at this great thing that happened, and I want to take credit for it. I want to say, yeah, because of me, this happened. That's the self-exaltation in my life. Because this youth event went really well, I want the glory for that. You know, that was all me. But then sometimes I also get into self-protection. And I say, I know God's gifted me in this way, but I'm really worried that if I do this, people might not understand, or I might do it wrong, or I might fail. And that's me not trusting that God has the power to work through me if I'm truly following him. When we lose sight of the gospel, we lose sight of what our gifts are for. And what they're for is for God's glory and service to others. The more we lean on God and his power, the more willing and able we are to rightly use our gifts. But pride sneaks in. Pride sneaks in and tries to say, no, don't serve God, don't serve others, serve yourself, or don't serve anyone, just stay at home and do nothing. Don't use those gifts for God's glory. Use them for your own, or don't use them at all. And pride begins to make its home in us when we do not believe God is all-powerful. See, that self-exaltation and that self-protection that I struggle with, those are really just revealing that at times I don't believe God is all-powerful. Because if I truly believed God was all-powerful, then I wouldn't try to make it about myself. I wouldn't try to glorify myself. And if I truly believed God was all-powerful, I wouldn't try to hide. I wouldn't try to run, because I should know that God works through me. And so when we struggle with that, pride begins to creep in. And so we exalt ourselves, saying we are more important than God, or we self-protect, saying God's not powerful enough to use me. But here's the best news. Even if you've misused for your own glory, or if you've ignored your gift, the gospel covers that too. Jesus is the perfect steward of every ability. He spoke words perfectly. He served with humility, and he gave his life all to glorify the Father. He took our failures and our pride on the cross, and he sent the Holy Spirit so that we don't have to do anything on our own. We have the helper. The Holy Spirit dwells in us. It is his power that allows us to use our gifts well. Not our own. It is his power. I want you to imagine for a moment that you've blessed me with a large amount of money, okay? Just imagine for a moment you've given me a large sum of money. I'm not saying you have to. Talk to me after service. But imagine you did this. And you said, hey, this money is for this purpose. I want you to use it to do this. And then all of a sudden, online or next Sunday, I get up on stage and I start saying, man, I've been working really hard recently. And because of my hard work, because of what I've done, I have come into all of this money because of my effort. You might sit out there thinking, not really, though. I gave you that money. Or what if I didn't do that, but instead you said, hey, this is what this large sum of money is for, and then I didn't use it for that. I was scared that I wasn't going to use it well. I wasn't going to do the right decision, whatever it may be. And then next week, I showed up in a Lamborghini. You might be thinking, you know, Pastor Josh, I didn't give you that money to buy a Lamborghini, right? I gave it so you could give the youth pizza, okay? You know, it's not for the Lamborghini. That would be a misuse of the gifts. You would be rightly confused, upset. I gave you this money with the purpose of these things. And either you claimed credit for it, or you did something completely different with it because you were scared to use it for the reason I gave it to you. Either one of those options, I'm neglecting to do what the gift giver has intended. When we neglect to do what the gift giver has intended, when we don't seek to do God's will with the gifts he's given us, we are outside of what he has desired for us to do. And so how do we avoid falling into these pitfalls? How do we avoid making these mistakes? Well, first of all, we run to Jesus and we rely on his power because it's him alone that can help us use his gifts perfectly. And then we must constantly examine our lives. We have to look at our lives and say, am I using the gift God has given me for his purpose, for his will? Or am I hiding it? Or am I using it to glorify myself? And then you might have to take the painful step of asking someone else, hey, am I misusing a gift God has given me? That's a painful conversation. Because if you are asking someone if you're misusing a gift, chances are you already know you kind of are. And when they say, yeah, you are misusing that gift, that can feel like a dagger. That can hurt. When you hear someone else say, yeah, you're not using your gifts the way God has intended you to use them, that is painful. But there is grace in the gospel. There is grace that we can confess that to Jesus Christ, and that in his power he will help us, and he will help us rightly use his gifts. Because stewarding our gifts well glorifies God and serves others. Stewarding our gifts well glorifies God and serves others. This has been a thread through every point so far. This is what our gifts are for. We should seek to glorify God. We should seek to serve others. Because the entirety of the Christian life is not about competence. It's about dependence. It's not about being competent in what you do. It's about being fully dependent on God. This dependence on God is glorifying to him because it is from him alone that we derive our strength. It is from him alone that we have these gifts. And so we depend on him. God doesn't give us gifts and say, I know you're going to be competent with this, so I'm giving you this gift. God gives us gifts and says, you're imperfect, you're flawed, you're sinful. But if you depend on me, if you depend on my strength, this gift can be used for my glory. This gift can be used to serve others. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 through 6 is a rather famous passage, but it applies here, and it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him, and he will make your paths straight. When we use our gifts to glorify God and serve others, it doesn't matter if we fall short of the expected human results. People will put expectations on us for when we serve using these gifts. But if we are serving God, if we are serving others, using the gifts in his power, seeking to glorify him, it doesn't matter if we fall short of those standards. As a youth pastor, I'll be honest, my main goal is not to grow the youth group here at Keystone. Would I like to have as many students as possible in the youth group? Yeah, that'd be awesome. I would love that. Whether it's 550, 500, I would love to just have as many youth as possible. But numerical results don't always reflect faithfulness. What God has mainly called me to do as a youth pastor is to glorify him, is to serve the youth, and is to share the truth of the gospel with them. Yeah, I'd love to do that with as many students as possible. But first and foremost, my goal is to glorify God, is to share the gospel, and is to serve the youth. Being a faithful steward of what God has given us, just what Kyle was saying last week, being a faithful steward of what God has gifted us with is more important than the results. So with your gift, seek to glorify God and serve others regardless of the outcome. Think of a dark room. Okay, you walk into a room, there's no lights, there's no moonlight, it is pitch black. You don't know if there's anything dangerous in there. You don't know if there's anything that you would want that's in there. But you're just trying to figure out what else is in this room. And so you're walking around, you're groping around, you're trying to find a light of some kind. And then you finally feel it. A light switch. And so you turn on that light switch, and what is the first thing you do? Like a moth, you go, and you stare at the light. No, that's not what you do. When you turn a light switch on, you don't just stare at the light. You look around. You see, okay, this is what's in this room. There's nothing dangerous. There might be something that I'm looking for in here. You don't just wander off and go stare at the light bulb. We're not moths. At least most of us aren't, I'm pretty sure. Okay? You don't just go and stare at the light source. You look around. It reveals things to you. We are supposed to be lights with our gifts. We are supposed to illuminate a dark world by using the power source of Jesus Christ. We don't have power on our own, but when we are connected to the power source, Jesus, and use our gifts to glorify him, we illuminate a dark world where people are lost. And so how are we using our gifts for others? Are we hoarding them up? Are we taking our talents and abilities and just using them for a select few? We serve the exact same person day in, day out. Or are we seeking opportunities to use our gifts, to glorify God, to serve others that might be a little uncomfortable? In the way that Jesus puts it, are we looking to serve the least of these? Are we looking to serve people that society might look at and say, I don't want anything to do with those people? A light isn't designed to be placed under a basket. The light is designed to illuminate the room that it is in. And we, as followers of Jesus Christ, we are designed by God and given gifts to illuminate the dark world by his power, by the gifts he's given us. And so, we all have gifts. But how do I use that gift? If you know what your gift is, you might know how to use it, but how do I use it well to serve others and glorify God? And so I'm going to borrow this from John Piper because he and J.I. Packer both outlined these steps, and I don't feel like I should reinvent the wheel on this. But it is an acronym called APTAT, APTAT. And you can jot this down somewhere in your notes page. The first A is admit. Admit our weakness and inability to accomplish anything truly good on our own. Because apart from Jesus Christ, we can do nothing good or of substance. We have to admit that we're weak, we're flawed, we're sinful. That is, unfortunately, who we are. But we have a good, good God who gives us gifts and abilities. The P is pray. Pray for God's help and power to use your gifting to serve others the way God wants you to for his glory. If we are skipping prayer in anything, then we are not doing what we're supposed to do. We need to be in constant prayer. We need to be praying for others, for ourselves, that we would be able to do what God wants us to do. Prayer is one of the most important things we can do. And then the first T there is trust. And we trust in a specific promise from God's word that he will work through us. Trust that God is who he says he is, and he will be with you in every moment. We have to trust that he is going to follow through on his promises. God has said who he is in Scripture. God has laid out his power. God has said, I have given you gifts, and it is my power in which you use those gifts. And we have to trust that God is going to do that. We have to trust that God is faithful and true. The second A is act. Act in obedience. Step forward in faith and confidence, doing the will of God by his power. It's not easy. It's not easy to act because we have fear. We have moments where we think, I'm not sure that's exactly what I'm supposed to do. But we need to act in obedience. When God has called us to do something, we need to step forward in faith and confidence. And then the final T is thank God. Thank God afterward. Acknowledge his grace and give him the glory. Because it is only because of him that you have the gift. And it is only because of him that you have the strength to use that gift. When we admit our weakness and we pray for God's help and we trust in his promises and we act in obedience and we thank him for working through us, we are serving him well. And as a result, we're going to serve others well. As we close this morning, when I first started, I told you about my history with public speaking. Me and public speaking have a very hate-hate relationship at times. But I got so nervous I would be physically sick. If you had told my middle school self that I would be a pastor and that I would have opportunities to preach, A, he'd probably vomit. B, he would laugh, and then C, he'd probably try to run away. And I'll be honest, there are a lot of times I have tried to run away from this call in my life. I would have zero confidence in my ability to do what you just told me I was going to end up doing. But here's what I've learned as being someone who would end up in bathrooms before public speaking. When God calls you to use the gift that he's given you, he also supplies the power to use it. God didn't call me to this and expect me to have the power on my own. God called me to this and gave me the power through himself. And that's not just for pastors or public speaking. That's for all of us. Every single one of us has been entrusted with gifts, unique, intentional, God-designed gifts. They're not accidents. There's none that are inferior to another. You have these gifts, and the way we use them matters deeply because they are not our gifts to keep. They are God's gifts to steward. We are given these gifts by God, and so we stored them because they are God's gifts. But then, as I said, there's the problem. Pride can creep in, and pride will either make you think, I'm really special. I'm really something to look at. I can use this to make myself look really good. Or it's going to make you think, I can't do this. I'm not good enough. So I'm just going to keep my gift hidden. In both cases, the focus shifts from God onto you. And when that happens, we forget the point of these gifts is to glorify God and to serve others. And so here's the call that I have to all of us, including myself. Stop believing the lie that your gift is too small or too unimportant or too risky to use. Stop believing the lie that your gift is something that you have done. Stop believing the lie that your gift is something that you have the power to do. God gave the gift. God empowers the gift, and God gets the glory for the gift. If you don't know what your gift is, pray. Ask God to show you. Ask the people around you. Ask a stranger that you've just met because they might be able to tell you, hey, I've known you for 10 minutes, but you seem to be really good at X. Find out what your gift is because in the end, it's not about whether people remember you for your gift. It's whether people remember Jesus Christ being glorified through how you used your gift. They might forget your name. They might not know who you are 10 minutes after that interaction, but if you served them serving God and glorified God, and they saw Jesus through it, that is far more important. So this week, take the gift God has entrusted to you, no matter how big or how small it is or how it may seem, and give that gift back over to God. Say, God, I need you to be the power. I need you to work through me in this. Use me as a light to shine in this dark world. Use my gift to help me serve someone who can't pay me back or owe me a favor. Use it to make much of God and not ourselves. Let's pray. Father God, as we come to you today, we thank you for the gifts that you've given us, for the abilities that you've blessed us with. We know that you are the power source. You are the one that has given the gifts. You are the one that empowers the gifts. So help us to use them well. Help us to use them for your glory, to serve others, to serve you, that your kingdom would be the focus, that we wouldn't put the focus on ourselves, but Lord, that you alone would be the one we glorify, and that you alone would be the one we know we get our strength from. I ask all of this in Christ's name. Amen.